In our last afternoon service, we treated a proverb that introduces the theme, the motif of abomination. And it happens that in the book of Proverbs, there are several instances of this term. And so at least for a short while, we will consider several of those proverbs. The next one we will consider with God's help this afternoon comes from Proverbs 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. This proverb introduces us into the world of the market, the marketplace. Now, the particular way in which the market presents itself may change from time to time and from society to society, but we still all must go out because we are not sufficient generally to produce all that we have need of. We go out and we go into the world, into places where people come together and exchange goods and services. Well, that's the kind of world, that's the circle in which we will be moving this afternoon. It's the marketplace, the place where goods and services are exchanged. A false balance in such a marketplace is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Now, just so that we all understand what we're talking about here, in the ancient world, the way in which goods were sold and purchased involved usually the weighing of those goods. We've seen perhaps Lady Justice with her blindfold on and in her hand scales. And so weights would be placed on the one side, and then the goods, whether it is grain or some kinds of beans or something else, would be weighed so that one would know how much was being sold, because there is a rate at which any of these products are being sold or purchased. Well, if someone was unprincipled, they could do something funny to the weights. They could put in the scale weights that were supposed to weigh a certain amount, but actually they weighed a little bit more. And in that case, the seller would get away with more money than he deserved. Well, that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about when in the marketplace people try to get more money than they actually deserve in the exchange of goods, particularly, or of services, when they do something funny, when they manipulate, when they alter things so that they cheat the other from what is theirs. What this text is saying is that God's interested in this. God is interested in this business in the marketplace, the exchange of goods and services. Business is my business. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight, a fair weight that everyone can agree upon and understands, that there is no deception, no misleading. A pound is a pound is a pound. A dollar is a dollar is a dollar. Well, let us consider God's business, your business, which is God's business. 2 points. First, a business interest, and second, a business bias. A business interest and a business bias. In the first case, the very fact that we have Proverbs or other scriptures in the Bible that speak to money matters demonstrates that God's not indifferent to these kinds of things. People might have this vain idea that God, he's really interested in worship. He's really interested in the outward practices of religion. People praising his name. And if we are going to talk about money, well, then God's interested in the tithes and offerings that are given to the church. But that's really where it stops. Outside of that, God is generally disinterested. Couldn't care less. Well, this proverb, among others, is very antithetical to that kind of idea. That what we would call the mundane things of life, that somehow he just doesn't care about it. No, he cares about mundane things. Nickels and dimes and quarters are of interest to God. They are of interest to God. Certainly, in the very first case, this proverb proclaims this very loud and clear. Your business is of concern to me. What you exchange, and especially how you exchange in the marketplace. We don't do everything ourselves. Even the most off-the-grid types generally rely to some degree upon others and their expertise and their abilities and their goods that they can generate and then exchange in the marketplace. God looks upon this and he's interested. He's not dozing off. He's not trying to change the channel because this is too dull. False balance, a single false balance in one particular marketplace, nestled within some obscure alley, not just in Jerusalem, but in Babylon, in Alexandria, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. He has a business interest. He sees all business transacted in the marketplace. Every swipe of the barcode, God sees. Every push of the button, every receipt that is given, every product that is returned and is claimed to be in good repair. He sees it all. As people stand in line, looking at their smartphones, God is watching. He's watching these busy centers of exchange. He sees the deals that are done under the table He sees those transactions on Wall Street. He sees all these things. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There's no secret. There's no secret that can be hid from God. Ananias and Sapphira, remember, they had a secret about the goods that they had dedicated to the Lord. And they claimed that there was a certain value that was attached to the sale of this land. But they lied. But they didn't lie to Peter, did they? They lied to the Holy Ghost. God sees it. Friends, God sees it. And not only does he see it, but he's keenly interested in what he sees. Is that fair? This particular transaction, is it fair? Is what was promised actually given to the buyer or the seller? Or the buyers as a group? He's keenly interested in what is done in the marketplace. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. We must resist that flood of secularism that just washes over us, in which we are constantly being told that yes, you can go voluntarily to the church and have your little worship, or you can go and have your little prayer in the closet, but that's where God stays. It's not true. It's a lie. And we're constantly being told that God is just this domesticated animal, quarantined safely. Well, that's not the reality. And you know, this proverb was just as countercultural then as it is now. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. You may not see it, you may not sense it, but it is. God sees and he's angry. Now, second, consider with me the business bias. Americans generally believe in the free market, except some of these radicals who want to import a failed system which promises many things and is often very short in its delivery. But as a rule, we like laissez-faire. Hands off. Let the forces of supply and demand operate, and as long as there is no actual injustice that is going on, let everyone do as they please. If they want to buy something, by all means, let them buy it. And there's something good about that. We enjoy great prosperity, and a large part of it is because, in God's kind providence, the free market has been allowed to operate as it should. It is a part of the judgment of God. I fear that we will soon be experiencing, if we aren't already, when that free market is beaten down. However, we are Christians first, not capitalists. We are Christians first. We take our cues from the Scriptures. And while I would suggest that, in general terms, we should support a free market, I would make a case for that, based upon nature and by Holy Scripture, we absolutely want to say that there is something that regulates how we are to buy and sell beyond beyond the law of the land. It is something that reflects the fact that God himself is not only interested, but that he has decided opinions about what happens in the marketplace, and that has to shape how we buy and sell. God has a bias. God is biased. He's biased to his own glory. He's biased to his own commandments. And he abhors theft. He despises it. And he especially abhors fraudulent theft. That is, when someone steals under color of fair business. It's when I say this dollar is a dollar is a dollar, or this product is a product is a product, and yet it's not really the case. And someone gets cheated. God hates that. He doesn't just hate it, he abhors it. It is abomination to God. Now, why does this bother him so much? Because he has sovereignly given gifts to men. He has sovereignly given gifts to men. Ahab, I gave you a lot of things, but I didn't give you Naboth's vineyard. I gave Naboth's vineyard to Naboth. And I want him and his family and his descendants to enjoy it. He has sovereignly given gifts to men, and they enjoy property rights. Another proverb indicates something of God's hatred for this fraudulent theft by manipulating weights and measures. Proverbs 20, verse 10, diverse or different weights and diverse measures, both of them alike, are abomination unto the Lord. If you've ever been robbed or stolen from, you're not the only one who's angry. Because God sees, and God is angry. And in fact, if you've been cheated with a smile, and you have absolutely no idea that you've been cheated, maybe you don't find out until 20 years down the road. But God saw it, and God's not happy. He has sovereignly given gifts to men, and they enjoy right to their property. Now, he also says, I give you these things, but if you want a good number of the things that you have, you can actually exchange with others. You can trade. And if it's convenient to use a third material, such as coins or bills, you can exchange your goods and services that way. As long as it's fair, as long as it's willing, you're willing and voluntary, and you act in good faith for each other's good. You want what I have more than I want what I have, and vice versa. And so we trade and we exchange, but it needs to be fair, and it needs to be based upon honesty and integrity, so that both are better off at the end. Not one guy snickering as he makes off with a steal. False balances cheat others and violate trust. They're directly antithetical to the second great commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, when you go into the marketplace at your job, or whether you're buying and selling, exchanging, whatever, wherever that is, even if it's online and you don't see who's on the other side. You are always called to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you sell, you should always want the other one's interest. Now, that doesn't mean you need to be taken advantage of. It doesn't mean that at all. No, this exchange is for mutual benefit. But there can't be dishonesty and fraud and ultimately robbery. Oh, God is angry at this. And an insult to those who bear my image, human beings made in my likeness, is an insult to me. That's why I'm angry. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Oh, how it grieves Him when He hears so many say, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit? Where does all this come from, friends? It comes from twisted and perverse greed. But God's bias doesn't mean that He only hates and despises such cheating. He positively delights when we deal in good faith and exchange our goods fairly. He delights in it. He doesn't just passively approve. No, He expresses His delight, His joy, its sweetness to Him. When justice is done, when people get what is coming to them, when property rights are observed and respected, there is justice, there is the honoring of His law. A just weight is His delight. Bridges writes, such a perfect stone is a perfect jewel and a precious stone in the sight of God. Whether it's in Boston or Bangkok, it's His delight. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Several lines of application. Do not cheat. Do not cheat. And I'll say it again. Do not cheat. In a very literal way, let us never have anything to do with the literal altering of weights and measures in our favor. Now, even though there aren't those scales that we see in the ancient world, there still weights and measures are everywhere around us if you simply open your eyes. God forbids us to manipulate scales, odometers, price scanners, meters. There are all kinds of meters. Meters for electricity, meters for currency, ATMs, meters for liquid goods, for dry goods. Further, we must not cheat in being careless to maintain weights and measures. When God puts us in that position, now maybe you don't have a position right now, but you may at some point, or you may be asked to do something that is unprincipled altering fundamentally how things are measured before they are sold. But I think the spirit of this text goes beyond simply a prohibition to a literal manipulating of weights and measures. But also, whenever we sell goods, we must never misrepresent the true value of what is being sold. False advertising. And you don't have to work in retail to be someone who sells something. It can just be selling a used car. Or selling some article of clothing on Craigslist. Now, we're not suggesting for a moment that you have to be taken advantage of, and the way a price is determined should be, as a rule, what the buyer and the seller can agree to. But in that process, there must be no misrepresentation of the true value of what is being sold. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Dear friends, do not cheat. And don't be tempted to cheat. Maybe you're in a position where you've suffered some setbacks in your life. And you've got the creditors calling on the phone, and it could be so very easy just to misrepresent something, and maybe just not a whole lot, just a little bit. Your business is my business, says God. Do not cheat, but rather delight God. Would you delight God? If you're a true son or daughter of Abraham, that's what you want to do. You want to delight God. Satisfy Him. Make him happy. A just weight is His delight. How can we delight Him? We can honor Him even in the mundane common affairs of life. We can delight Him by being keepers of the second table of the law, loving our neighbor as ourselves, honoring not just the letter but the spirit of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Honoring not just the letter but the spirit of the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Dearly beloved, treat honest business dealings as so many acts of worship. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Delight God by being honest in your business dealings. Maintain your integrity. Be scrupulous. Be punctilious, even if you get made fun of. Eschew any and all temptations to break trust in business matters. Seek the praise of God, knowing that a just weight is His delight. Dare not cheat. Do not dare cheat. Well, earlier we said, do not cheat. Now we go even further. Do not dare cheat. Because it could just be so easy, cheating just... it's not such a big thing. Well, what others don't know won't hurt them. if it's a small enough adjustment, no one's going to feel it. Each of them, the 20th, the 40th, the 60th patron, they won't even know. Yes, but God knows. God knows. What men don't know will hurt them, even if they don't sense it. God sees the injury that has been done to the property of others. And the actual harm, which maybe they did not estimate, maybe they realize they got cheated and they know they can't correct it. But maybe God sees all the collateral damage, all the harm. Do not dare cheat. And not only what men don't know will hurt them, but what God does know will hurt you. He will expose you. Be sure that your sins will find you out. And He will make you pay, and then some. Beware especially those of you who have the seal of baptism, who are called by the name of Christ. What an especial affront it is to God, with the name of God upon us, is to commit fraud. John Gill writes, For though there may be common honesty where there is not the grace of God, yet there cannot be the true grace of God where there is not honesty. If you play fast and loose with the truth and fast and loose with people's possessions, you are playing fast and loose with the Holy God. And if you have made this your practice and you have not repented of it, you have no assurance that you're a true Christian. If you have cheated, come clean. This is a life lesson for you, boys and girls. If you have ever cheated, come clean. First, come clean with God. Confess your sin. Acknowledge your wrong. Come clean with your fellow man. Maybe that means talking with your parents or adults, talking with the one that you have cheated. Or maybe it was years ago. Maybe it was even in the days of your unconverted life. But if you still know their name and their city and their number, it's time to get in touch with them. To acknowledge sins, to make things right, to confess, to say with Zacchaeus, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. And yes, it will be humbling. Yes, it may be painful. But it's setting things right. And when you set things right, you give God delight. But a brief closing word to those who have been cheated. Know that you are not the only witness. And know that if you can't correct it, if there is no court of law to which you can go to rectify things, and that is your right, know that God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I will make it good. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Amen. Please rise. O Lord, we confess ourselves to be, at root, thieving liars. But we thank Thee that, oh, there is forgiveness with Thee, and that Jesus Christ has paid the uttermost farthing to redeem us. Grant us, therefore, to have to give no ground to greed, to dishonesty and fraud. We pray that Thou would keep us to be a holy people unto Thee. Through Thy Son we ask. Amen. The closing psalm selection is from Psalm 24, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 24, verses 1 through 6, to the tune Talus. The earth belongs unto the Lord and all that it contains, the world that is inhabited and all that there remains. Without further reading, verses 1 through 6. Rise to receive the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.